All right, I have 2 o'clock. We'll get going. We're glad you're here today. We're going to talk a little bit about marriage today. Tomorrow we're going to talk families, building strong families. And on Saturday, if you'll be in this class, we'll talk a little bit about some ingredients to raising good kids in this day and time. Sometimes there's a lot of people that add things to the pot that don't always fit where they should. And our job is to put the good ingredients into their lives to make those things work well. But today, talking about marriage, talking about husbands, wives, I am a big believer in marriage and that the fact that a strong marriage makes a strong family. When you've got a husband and a wife who have made it their goal to build a strong marriage and to put that on the front burner, not the back burner, what you find always are good, strong kids and just a good, healthy family for the most part. If you will, let's have a word of prayer. We'll ask God to bless this and we'll get going. Father, we are so grateful for our time this afternoon to come and talk a little bit about marriage. We are thankful for the partners that you have given us. Maybe for those here that aren't married, for those that partners you have planned for us. We ask your blessings upon our marriages, whether they're in a struggling state, a good state, or a great state. We just ask, Father, that you just bless them. We thank you for the gift of marriage and just the ability to love, to give love and receive love, companionship, for that gift of intimacy, Father, that you've created. Thank you most of all for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. I had some really amazing statistics that I looked at them earlier and I thought, hey, y'all don't need to see them, you already know them. You know that things don't look great for marriages these days. Things aren't for marriages these days. Just the opposite. There are so many things struggling and pushing and fighting against marriage these days. You have little issues that come along and the little cracks that are there in the marriage and new things come along. Social media, different things that sometimes pull bigger cracks into marriage. And so just looking at stuff, we're going to talk today a little thing about, we're going to talk about some things that wives wish their husbands understood. And then we're going to look at some things about 7 things husbands wish their wives understood. So if you've actually come with your spouse, you husbands want to make sure you're taking notes during this part. All right. And the girls, y'all take notes during this part. I do a marriage seminar 6 or 8 a year called Strong Marriages, and this is just kind of some of the bits and pieces that I do from that seminar. And I'm going to ask again, if you get a chance, if you've got some seats in the middle aisles, I hate to ask you to squeeze in next to folks that you may not know real well, but you're probably going to spend time in heaven with them anyway, so we'll get to know them here on earth. And we'll make a little bit more room. I can move and y'all can get out of the way. Maybe somebody will sit on the front row. Nobody sits on the front row, do they? What's so terrible? The front row is always a bad row. Always the scary row. And then when it's the only row left, you have your choice. Do I take the floor? Do I take the front row? So we'll look at some things to deal with, 7 things every wife wished their husband knew and 7 things that every husband wished their wife knew. And again, this is the longest of the 3 lessons in a sense of usually this is a 2-part thing. Terry wanted me to put it in 1, so we're going to zip through this pretty quick. But there's some things in here I really want you to catch that I think deal with marriage today that I think will bless your marriage if we do some things on this. All right. Now, if any of you have read Dr. Willard Harley's book called His Needs, Her Needs. He talks a little bit about some things. He calls 10 things, and we'll look at these just real quick. 10 things every marriage has in every need. 5 of these are men, 5 of these are women. You've got communication, sexual fulfillment, openness, honesty, recreational companionship, affection, financial support, family commitment, admiration, an attractive spouse, and domestic support. We'll talk a little bit more about these in just a minute, but I'd love to know, if you know off the top of your head, do you think communication is a man need or a woman's need? How many say men's need? Let me say woman's need. All right, y'all are smart folks, all right? Sexual fulfillment, just tell me. Man's need, that's exactly right. Openness and honesty. Oh, y'all are good. Y'all have read this book, haven't you? Recreational companionship. Okay, y'all are getting it on. There we go. Affection. Affection. 9 times out of 10, on the top of the woman's list. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Financial support, I just gave it away. That's a woman's need most of the time. Family commitment, that is a woman's need in marriage, a wife's need in marriage. Admiration, yeah. We're going to talk a lot about this in a minute because I think that one thing, if there's one thing that I could give you, you wives in here, that if I could say, go home and do this, it's going to be this one here in a minute. Admiration, attractive spouse, man, that's right, we'll talk about that. Domestic support, man. Those, like I said, those are Dr. Willard Harley's idea of when he talks about his needs, her needs. He does 5. We're going to look at 7 this morning in our class. And we're going to start first with husbands. If there were 7 things that I could say, husbands, do this, at the very top of the list would be this one because it applies to so many areas of marriage. Husbands, number one, court your wife in a creative way. Younger people will go, now what is this court thing? All right. Now, in back in the older days, some of you are going, I know what courting is. How about the word wooed? Does that fit any better? That's an older word too, isn't it? Date your wife creatively. Love your wife creatively. Court your wife creatively. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, I'll read this to you. It says, husbands must love your wives the same way Christ loved the church. Now, there's 2 words that I want you to catch in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands must love. The word love there could very easily be translated treasure. Husbands, treasure your wives. Now, the other thing that I want you to catch there is not just that it's a treasure in a sense of love your wife, but that he writes it and he says, He puts a continual essence to it. He says, this is something you always do. So he says, and it could be translated, husbands continually treasure your wives. You know why I bring this up? Because one of the worst things husbands do, one of the worst things husbands do in their marriage is, and this is just how men are made, they find a girl and they like her and they think, man, she may be the one for me. She is cute. I like her. And he starts doing all these things. He starts going, man, I'm going to try and win her. And so he brings flowers sometime. He stops by work for no reason just to stick his head in and go, I just want to come by and say hi. Calls for no reason whatsoever during the day just to say, just wanted to hear your voice a little bit. Mails a card every now and then, takes her to a movie, opens her door, all these things. And she, over here, the woman, you know what she's doing? She's going, I kind of like this guy. All these things that he's doing for me. And I'm beginning to trust the fact that this could not only get serious, but if he does things like this all the time, I might even want to marry this guy. And he's over here going, man, I've got to win her. I've got to win her. That's my goal. And so he continues to court her and try to win her. And finally, you know, pops a question and she says, this is exactly the man I'm looking for. He treats me like a queen. They get married, they say, I do, and you really know what 9 times out of 10, you know what every man thinks? I've done it! I've won her! She's now mine! You know, and she's over here going, I've got him. He's going to treat me like this the rest of my life. And he's over here going, but I've already won her. Why should I? And so he stops with all the little stuff, the things that she fell in love with him. Because he did. He stops doing those things. And before you know it, she's over here going, this is just not the man I married. And he's over here going, what's wrong with you? You know? Sounds like early stages of marriage, right? And so it is important that men learn to court their wives in a creative way. The worst thing, this is the third time, and I'll say it 3 times, the worst thing a man can do is not to strive to keep his wife as strongly as he did to win her. That means the things that you did to win your wife, you better still be doing today after 23 years of marriage. I better be leaving some notes. not to-do notes while I'm gone today. Some I love you because notes. I need to be calling during the day for the same reason. Those are all things, all part of how a man loves his wife. Women are over here going, I just wish he'd do those things that he did back when we got married. I fell in love with him because he did all these things. Court your wife creatively. It's essential that we learn to do those things. Write her a note. Walk. Take walks. Some of the best time my wife and I have together, and it's warming up when we start doing it again, is end of our day, we get to have a little bit of us time, just to kind of reconnect because we've been going every direction. We'll go for a walk, and that gives us 30 minutes just to talk. Hold her hand. You want to know, you know what's even better than holding her hand? Hold her hand in public. I found out wives like that. It's one thing to hold her hand in the car driving down the road. It's another thing when you'll hold her hand walking in the mall as if to say, I really like her. That'll win you brownie points right there. Non-sexual touching. This is where the infection comes in that we talked about. Now, I put non-sexual in there because if I just put toucher, you know, men would be going, yeah, now we're talking the men part, right? No, this is the affection part. Affection has nothing to do with sexual fulfillment. Affection is notes, pats on the backs, a hug, a kiss on the cheek, a massage, and you just go down the list. A date. Make eye contact. Read a book together. Read your Bible together. Look through some old pictures. So just something. Just find some time to communicate together, to spend some time doing some things together. I may have it down on here in a little while, but I'll go ahead and mention it. Guys, you should be dating your wife once a week, even if your kids aren't at home, especially if you have kids at home. You should be finding someone. You should be dating your wife once a week. That means going out, not talking about the kids, once a week, finding time to say, hey, tonight, don't make any plans. We're going to go have supper, and we're just going to go spend some time together. One of the worst things couples do is couples have children and small children in their home, and they take those small kids. I'm not picking on you moms for a second, but moms are especially bad about this. And they make those kids their number one priority, which they should be very important. But they put them above their marriage. And all of a sudden, kids, you know, the back burner, the marriage goes to the back and the kids to the front. And they say, hey, right now I'm raising kids and we'll get back to marriage when they're gone. And I've seen it too many times. What happens? Kids grow up and they leave the home and they look at each other across the table and she and he go, I don't even know who you are anymore. Because for the past 18 years, they hadn't done anything together. Don't ever back burner your marriage for the sake of your kids. Love your kids enough to say, hey, it's our marriage and y'all come a close second. Don't be afraid to go out on a date. Once a month, at least once every 3 months, you should be going somewhere with your wife overnight. Going somewhere, a little trip. Somebody always suggests, and this is always good, if you can't afford a babysitter, because a lot of times if you're a young couple, I've been there, and you go, man, I can't even afford to hire a babysitter to keep my kids and us go on a date. Swap out with another couple at church. Tell them, hey, if you'll watch my kids this weekend, if you'll watch my kids tonight, I'll watch yours Monday night. Sometimes we go, I'm a big spender, I'll tell you. Sometimes we go to Sonic, to the dollar menu. And I'll say, hey, let's go do lunch. And we'll just sit out there in the car and eat our little lunch as we watch the traffic go by. But romantic, isn't it? But nobody's there to buy. Nobody can come up to our table. We live in a small town. I love small town living, but I promise you, there is no intimacy in a small town, all right? I have on many occasions told my wife, let's go on a date, sometimes anniversary, and we'll sit down at a table and we'll be talking and, you know, eye contact, doing what we're supposed to do, and there'll be three or four people that night come up, pull up a chair. Hey, just want to sit down and visit with y'all. Y'all got a second, you know, and you can't say, hey, we're on a date, you know? So it's not uncommon to have folks come up and want to sit down and visit. So a date to Sonic in the car. Tough for folks to run up and want to visit. All right, let's look at this next one before we get going too far. Yeah. Enjoy your marriage. It is not a destination, it's a journey. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's what marriage is about. All right, guys. Oh, I like this. You got to see this. She is obviously barbed wire, the bed between the two, and he says, apparently I have done something to upset you. Now, that leads us right into this next part that it fits real well, communication. That's where the communication comes in. Husbands, communicate cheerfully, meaning communication, it's not a duty, it's not a job. You gotta be okay. If your spouse wants you to communicate, communicate. It's important that you communicate. It is one of the top two reasons for divorce is a lack of communication in marriage. And there's lots of problems that deal in marriage with communication. And wives, let me just tell you real quick, if you want your husbands to communicate with you, understand this, you've got to be able to communicate with your husband. As in like, okay, have you ever heard the old phrase? If you want your husband to know something, you really need to tell him. You cannot connect the dots close enough for your husband to figure out what's going on. It's kind of like the wife that came in one day, the husband that came in one day, and his wife, he just thought, boy, she's kind of icy cold today, you know? And he says, is there something wrong? And she says, you know, is there something bothering you? And kind of scared to even ask, and she says, no, nothing. You know, well, you can just tell by the response, you know, and a couple hours later he asks again, you know, hey, are you sure not anything wrong? Anything I've done? No, not anything at all. You know, a few hours come by, and finally, one last time, he says, okay, I'm going to ask one more time. I can just tell something's wrong. Honey, are you sure there's not anything wrong? And she says, straightens her coat and says, well, if you just don't know, I'm not going to tell you. You know, and he's over here going, I don't have a clue. You know, and that's how men are sometimes. If you want them to understand where you're coming from, connect the dots really close. Because men have to understand that it is really, really hard. You got to be straightforward with them. Don't send mixed messages, all right? Silent treatment. Oh, what a horrible way to come. If you're upset with your spouse a little bit, talk to them. Don't give them the silent treatment, all right? Don't send mixed messages. Don't, nothing's wrong me, all right? Plan time your communication well. Meaning, don't hit your husband the second he walks in the door. I mean, long day at work, welcome home. Let me tell you about all the trouble we're having. You know, timing, man, bad timing equals fireworks. Plan. Think things through before you just, boy, start firing stuff. Think, plan your words. You know how many times I've said things that I've thought, ooh, I got to grab that. And it's already gone. You know, you can't put it back when you've said it. Plan your words. Think, focus. Attention. I look them in the eyes. Listen. Not always good at that. That's when I still, 23 plus years of marriage, I'm still practicing my listening skills. Encourage. Reaffirm, meaning maybe we've just discussed some really tough stuff and I just need to kind of stop and go, hey, you know, we may not always see eye to eye or we may be struggling on this or that, but you understand I always love you and that never changes. That reaffirmation is extremely important that we kind of give that. Is it bad when it dies? Oh, there it goes. Family time. Wives need family times and a lot of it, all right? Husbands, seriously? Yeah, you are the guy that provides for your family, but not to the point you have no family time. Extra thousands of dollars trading it off for being gone more often. Read something the other day where about 87% of wives said that they would actually take less, that their husbands bring home less if it meant seeing their husbands more. I thought that was huge. Wives need family time. They want you to spend time with the kids and the family, not just working all the time. It's not just about jobs, not just about husbands. I thought this was cute. Some of it will go right over your heads. Couple of worms. worms love dirt, you know, and she says, man, Jack is such a nice husband. He treats me like dirt, you know. They love dirt. My sense of humor may be a little different. Serve her cheerfully. Treat her, if you're a worm, treat her like dirt somehow or another in there. Meaning, let me just throw this out there. If you work in a dual occupation home, if your wife works outside the home and husbands, you work outside the home, you have just as much responsibility for doing the things at home as she does. For you to come in and plop yourself down and recline her and go, hey man, I've been working all day, and expect her to do everything, that is wrong. Flat wrong. It ought to be, even if she doesn't work outside the home, it doesn't hurt me one lick to come in and go, can I help with supper tonight? Can I help unload the dishwasher? Can I run the vacuum? Whatever it is. Serve her. And don't pretend like it's a job. Do it cheerfully. Be open and honest. All right, now we're going to kind of get a little touchy here for just a second. Wives need your openness, not hiding stuff. They need your honesty. Social media is awesome. I love things like Facebook, Twitter. I'm a blogger. All those things. We now have phones that I can pick up and call anywhere. My son was in Honduras last week, and he walkie-talkied me from his phone to my phone. From a third world, I mean, it's just amazing how we can communicate and talk. Text messaging is just, like, we text more on it than we actually call on it now. You know, I still hear people sometimes go, well, all I want to do is talk on my phone. And, you know, we're all looking at him like, why do you want to do that? You can just send them a message. I had a guy the other day that sent me a message. He says, you got a few minutes to talk this afternoon? I got a couple issues I'm really struggling with. I said, sure, you can get together for coffee? This is a young guy, all right? This is how young guys think. He said, oh, no, we can just text it out. And I thought, man, I don't have all day to text through this conversation. But that's what he wanted to do. Now, here's the point I want you to catch. In our time right now, it is extremely essential that you're open and honest with your spouse about everything. I am a firm believer that there are no secrets in marriage. I mean, no secrets in marriage. In a sense of hiding things. Let me give you a couple of examples. My text messages that I have, my wife is willing, I will let my wife read my text messages at any time, any place, anywhere. If you're hiding text messages, it's just a red flag, something's wrong. And I don't know how many times I've had somebody that's come in, 9 times out of 10 so far, it's been wives coming in, sitting down in my office going, I've never thought about it, but I actually picked up his phone yesterday and he just flipped out saying, don't read my stuff, that's my stuff and it's private. And I immediately said, something is not good. If you are hiding stuff, if you do not allow your spouse, male or female, husband or wife, something's off. We share passwords. My wife knows all the passwords to whatever account we have. My email, she can read it anytime she wants. Facebook, there's some rules with Facebook. And if you are a married couple, there needs to be some rules in your house with Facebook. If you're in here and you go, what's Facebook? Let me just say, you have done well to stay far, far away from Facebook. Facebook is a wonderful thing, but it also, if you use it in an unhealthy way, it can be a very bad thing. Number one, you shouldn't spend too much time on Facebook. If you're spending hours and hours and it's taken away from your time with your husband or your wife, if one of you are staying up hours into the night Facebooking, something is not good. You don't befriend people from your past that you have had a love interest with. That's why I tell young couples all the time, you don't need to be friends with the guy you used to date. I ask my wife all the time, look through my friends. If there's anybody you feel uncomfortable with, they're gone. When I close my laptop, I don't sign off of Facebook. She knows my password anyway. So that when she gets on to read Facebook, she can read anything I've done, any place I've gone, any of my messages that are still there. Why do I do that? Openness, honesty, that's what marriage is built on. And accountability. I don't ever have to worry thinking, ooh, I hope my wife doesn't have to see that. Because I know she will. So there's accountability there. I mean, she's the best accountability partner I have. It's called openness and honesty. Knowing that my spouse knows, and I'm going to share what it is that we do. So husbands, be open and honest. Wives, be open and honest about all of those things. Husbands, be the spiritual leader in your home. Somewhere, somehow, years ago, it's not because the wives wanted the job, but they took over the job of being the spiritual leader. It's because you and I didn't get it done. And we began to think that we were just the ones that were the breadwinner in the home, when actually in Ephesians chapter 6, God told husbands, husbands, teach your children. Fathers, teach your children that you are the spiritual leader in your home. You be that leader. Be the one that leads your children to church, not takes them and drops them off. Be the one that leads and says, hey, we're going to learn a memory verse this week. We're going to do a Bible study this week, whatever it is. One other thing, let me mention this real quick. Pray with your spouse. Man, that may be the most intimate thing you can do. That's tough for husbands, I'll admit. I struggle with it for years. Pray with your spouse. Ask your wife if she'd spend a few minutes praying with you. Man, you talk about intimacy. Love listening to my wife pray and hearing what's on her heart. Treat her like a queen. Why would she ever want anything else if you treat her like a queen? Let her know she's the queen. Fall over, bend over backwards to make her feel like she is it. I love praising my wife publicly, privately. I was with another guy. He's not very good at it. And my wife and his wife came in the door, and I said something about, there are two pretty women that just walked in this room. And I said it where my wife could hear me, because I wanted her to know what I thought about her. His response was kind of the same thing it always had been. Well, you might say that about yours, but I'm not too sure. I'm kind of iffy on mine. You know, it was always his way of, I mean, it was always just kind of a left-handed compliment, as if you could put it that way. He never just wanted to ever say anything nice. It was more of a gouging type thing. And I remember I looked him in the eyes and I said, Audie, one of these days, if you don't treat her right, somebody else will. And you'll be coming to me going, how do I get her back? It took 3 years. He showed up in my office. Said, you won't believe what she did. You know what I wanted to tell him? Told you so. It was tough. Husbands, treat her like a queen. Treat her like a queen. All right, we're running out of time. Wives, we need to talk to you for a second, all right? Husbands are going, it's about time. Woo! All right, husbands, be a wife's playmate. Now, if you're going, now what are we talking about, playmate here? I'm talking about have some fun with your husband. Whatever your husband's interests are, you learn to take on his interests. Learn to do the things he loves to do. One of the top needs in your husband's world is to have a wife that enjoys doing things that he loves to do. There was an old preacher years ago, some of you will remember, a guy by the name of Ira North. I used to love, he passed away before I ever started listening to preaching. But I found a tape of his one time where he talked about being your husband's playmate. And he was telling this story, and he was preaching that sermon. He said, after my sermon was over, he said, I had a little old woman come up to me, and she said, oh, Brother North, she said, I just hate golf, and I just hate hitting that little old white ball around. Don't make me go out there and hit that little old white ball around. And Ira North told her, said, well, I guess if you don't want to hit that little old ball around, you could carry his little old clubs for him. I thought that was pretty good. I'm a firm believer in the couple that plays together stays together. My wife has grown up, we have four boys, and she has learned to love boy stuff. She is a sports fan. She is a baseball fan. She is a football fan. And she's learned all those things because she knows what it is that makes a big difference. I had a woman at church that told me they have a women's Bible study at our congregation on Thursday mornings. And she was telling me that they were having a Bible study and they were on marriage. And the question came up in the book, what would you do if your husband had worked all month and his first finally weekend off, you so waited for that time to come up, he decides to go fishing? All around the room, one woman after another, well, man, he wouldn't be sleeping in my bed for a month, you know, or he'd be on the couch or he'd be cooking his own meals. Finally, one smart girl said, I think I'd probably learn to bait a hook. That's smart thinking right there. That's smart thinking. Be your wife's playmate. There's an old story about a guy who goes into his wife and he says, hey, honey, I would love to start doing some stuff together. How about we get a boat and we can go out and we start getting on the water and jet ski or, you know, I mean, inner tube or ski or whatever. And she goes, oh, you know, oh, honey, you know that sun is so hard on my skin, you know, and it's so hot out there. And she just goes on with every excuse in the world. So he just kind of drops it. And a couple, 3 weeks go by, and he says, you know, we ought to go skiing this winter and take a trip together. And we'll go up and we'll do a little skiing, have a little fun. Oh, man, it's snow so cold, you know, and I don't have any cold clothes to keep me warm, and just every excuse in the world. And then a month or so later, he comes along. He's given up on those ideas, and he comes in. He says, hey, let's take a trip. Let's go out and do something. Let's go to Vegas and see some shows. Let's go do something like that. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, that car ride would be so long, you know. I mean, you see where I'm going, right? But what happens is a few months later, he's in his office, and he just happens to have a new secretary, and he comes in one morning and says something about skiing, and she says, oh, I just love skiing. I just wish I had knew somebody had a boat. I'd go out on the lake every weekend. He didn't think much about it. Two or three days later, they get to visiting a little bit, and they're talking about snow skiing. Oh, what I wouldn't do to get to go snow skiing. I love snow skiing. Before you know it, he says, what about trips like Vegas and stuff? Oh, I wish somebody would take me. You see where it's going, don't you? It's important. Wives, be your husband's playmate. Spend some time doing some things that he likes to do. Admire your husband. I told y'all this would be the one thing. If out of all these seven things we talk about this week, if you could just do number two well, you would bless your marriage in amazing ways. Kids, we're good at admiring kids. We tell our kids, they come home and we'll pick that thing up and we'll go, boy, man, you did awesome on your paper. Oh, your handwriting is so neat. And we give them all this praise, but somehow or another, men never grow up out of that stage. Men need a lot. Yeah. Now it may be hard to come in, oh, baby, that's the neatest sales ticket you have ever written, you know? But you can find some things to praise your husband about. You need to tell him, man, that shirt looks great on you. Or, you know, I love the way you're doing this or doing that. You are so good with the kids. You may take work, but you need to find something to praise him about on a regular basis. He needs to hear that. Men never grow out of that stage. They need lots and lots of admiration. Besides that, they're motivated by it. My wife can say, boy, you're a good daddy. 10 minutes later, I'm in the floor wrestling with my kids. Because I'm thinking, man, I guess I am. You know, I forgot that. The other day, at our house, we kind of swap out cleaning. We have Bible studies at our house a couple times a week, a prayer group that meets at our house. It just seems like there's always something at our house. And so, she, being a woman, likes the house clean, which is okay. So that's just the rules. We can have whatever you want. You just got to help me clean the house. So I do the carpets. I do the vacuuming, the sweeping, and the doors and the wind. You know, anytime kids. So I clean all the doors and stuff for us. That's the way it goes. Well, one thing neither one of us like to do is dust. And 9.9 times out of 10, she always does the dusting because she's got so much things to dust around. If it was just one board, whoosh, I could handle that. But I mean, there's just so much to dust. But I came through one time, and I'd got my things done, and she was in there still working, and I don't know. I don't know what possessed me to do it. Maybe I felt like a Christian that day. But for some reason, I picked up the dust rag, all right? And I started kind of dusting around a little bit, and I thought, well, I'll do this for a second, just for a second, until... And she came through and just kind of stopped, and I was dusting. I look up, and she's just standing there like this. And I said, what? She said, I got to tell you, I have never found you more sexy. I have never found you more sexy than I do right now with that dust rag in your hand. I dust the rest of the house that day. I flaunted my sexiness with that rag all over the place. I'm telling you, it don't take much to motivate us guys, but we need that. Men need admiration. They need admired. I told a young couple sitting in my office this past week. We've been talking about all these things, doing premarital counseling stuff. The one thing I told them, and I talked to her, I looked her in the eyes, and I said, if you want to bless your marriage more than anything else, you will make special effort to go out of your way to give lots of praise to your husband-to-be. You praise him and praise him and praise him. You admire him, and he will do anything for you. It is huge that we learn to do just that. All right, got to keep going. Quick, quick. And avoid a controlling attitude. You understand that as well as I do. That's simple, isn't it? You know how many times the Bible, even Proverbs in different verses, talks about, you know, the controlling attitude. Man, it's better to live on the corner of a house than a woman. You know, you understand that. So don't... learn to just, Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says, you wives should submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of his body, the church. And you can keep reading from there. But avoid a controlling attitude. Have a sweet spirit. Dress with an aim to please your husband. Now when I do these series in conferences on like weekends, we do a lot of Friday and Saturday Stronger Marriage conferences where we take this material and we break it out real slow. We have a lot of fun with this one right here, because I can promise you, wives, you're wearing two or three or four things that your husband would love for you to give away to someone else. Burn in the fireplace. Just say, hey, children's home. You know, whatever it is you give your clothes to, send it. But you know, ask your husband without getting offended. Is there something that I wear, you know? 9 times out of 10, your husband will go, you know those footed pajamas that zip right up to here? They got to go, you know. Or you know those 6 pair of sweatpants, you know, whatever it is. But make it your goal to dress with an aim to please your husband. Let me put it this way. Do your best with what you have. Be the woman that he married in the first place. Somebody says, well, hey, it's been 20 years, 23 years since we've been married. I'm not that woman. That's okay. Do the best with what you got. There's many times that I come home at lunchtime from the office or wherever I've been, my wife, with absolutely zero intention of going out for the day, going anywhere, has got up, got dressed, and put on makeup just because she knows I'm coming home. Dress with an eye to please your husband. If your husband says, man, that looks good on you, then you put that somewhere where you'll remember, I need to wear that more often. All right? You know, if you're married, men are very visual. That's just how we're made. Dress with a way that he likes. All right? Don't starve your husband sexually. Don't starve your husband sexually. I won't read it because we're out of time, but write down 1 Corinthians 7. You read about the first 7 verses, okay? I had a woman sit in my office one time. She had a right to be there. She said, my husband, I caught him on a computer in a chat room for singles. And I said, why do you think you'd do that? She said, I have no clue. What do I do? We began to talk about it a little more, and we just kind of talked for a little while, and I said, well, are things good at home? Yeah, things are great at home. And I said, well, I don't want to be touchy. I don't want, you know, let me just, are things good at home in the bedroom in your sex life? Well, I guess. She said, well, you know, I've been sleeping on the couch for 6 months. And I said, why are you sleeping on the couch? She said, well, my back's bad, so I sleep on the couch. I said, so y'all aren't even sharing a bed together? No. I said, well, I said, I'm going to ask you, but when's the last time y'all were together sexually? Well, it's been about 6-8 months. And I remember telling her, I said, you know what? I think I can fix your problem. I said, you go home and you start loving on your husband. I said, what he did was not right. But I said, start meeting his needs. And I remember she said, but that just doesn't sound like, that's just not fun to me. I said, it's not always about fun to you. But I said, obviously that's a sign that something's not right in your marriage. Now, you know as well as I do, husbands and wives, or men and women, are wired up differently, right? Yeah, I mean, if you had a graph, and we actually don't have one. If you had a graph, you know, in life, here's a man right here, all right? Top of the graph, a man's sexual desire, right at the top. And as he goes through life, you know, age 12, 18, you know, stays right up here like this, stays right up here like this, and then he dies, okay? And that's just kind of how men are, uh-huh? That's men. Then they die, okay? And women are down here about right here, all right? And they go about right here, and somewhere in the mid-30s, they little peak, and then they go back to where they were. You know, somewhere it's like ships crossing in the night, right? You got to understand that there's a difference between husbands and wives, and biblically, you know, man. And sadly, the sad part is we've made the mistake of the church has just been too quiet on the subject. We've let the world talk about sex more than we do when we should be setting the subject straight. Sex is a gift from God, and it's a blessing, and we got to move on. Love your family, but love your husband more. Be warm and wonderful. Be warm and wonderful. I love the story back on number five. I preach periodically on sex at home. In fact, when I started preaching there 5 or 6 years, I'm not sure there'd ever been a sermon on sex from that pulpit ever. And I remember the first couple of times I did, if I could have had a little camera, it would have been really cool watching everybody's face, you know, to go back and play it over. I remember the song leader going, what are you going to preach on Sunday? I've got to pick out some songs. So he, Sunday morning, he gets up and goes, couldn't come up with anything. Couldn't come up with a thing. And so he asked the congregation, anybody have a song in the songbook that you can think of that would work for this topic? In the back, one little old shaky man stands up and says, what about precious memories? That's not true, okay? I just want you to know that. On a Wednesday night, we go to the Sonic pretty regularly, and a family thing. We're sitting there on a Wednesday night, and I look up, and from around the side of the Sonic comes, politically correct, he would be a transit. Somebody passing through town, a homeless person. This guy was a bum, all right? He was filthy. He had food in his beard. He was nasty. He reeked. When I saw his hands, I was thinking, man, I don't think enough soap would ever get that man clean. He came walking around the corner and kind of, I don't know if stumbled a good word, but come right up to my window. And I rolled down the window, and I said, can I help you? And all my kids are in the back seat. And he said, man, have I got a deal for you. I said, really? And he said, yeah, I got a deal for you. And he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls something out, and he's got his hand. He goes, I got something I want to give you. And you've never had one of these before. And I'm going to trade it to you for $5. Will you make the trade? And I said, well, let me know what's in your hand first. And he said, "And you don't know what it is? Tomorrow in my class, if you'll come back, I'm going to tell you what that man had in his hand. All right? It ties in with what we're talking about tomorrow. But that man had something in his hand that I had never had in my life. And he gave it to me We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thank you all for coming today. I'm sorry we ran a little long. If you are interested, the whole series of these lessons in kind of a sermon format is up here. We use these to support our Honduras work. They're $20. You're welcome to take one if you want to. Just stick the money in a box over there. We'll be fine. If you want to take one today and bring money back tomorrow, that's fine too. I trust you.